Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Monkey Tail Podcast. I am your host, Bruno Pinto, and with me as ever, I have my friend slash co-host slash sifu, Mr. Marius Dunkley.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. A little bit fumey in here. I've just painted my podcast room, so if I start going weird on the podcast, it's due to paint inhalation.
Is that the story we're going with? Okay, fair enough. Joining us as well, we have our friend, Mr. Immortal Donut, coming in the early hours from the United States. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm caffeinated, ready to go.
So that's a good chance. I'm going to end the podcast by myself. A few inhalation over there and sleep deprivation over there. So it may be that it'll be a monologue to end with. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But thank you guys for both being here, especially you, Donut, for being here so early. It's crazy. I like my sleep. There's no way I could do it podcast at 5 in the morning. Mm. I mean, I hardly make sense now, let alone at 5 in the morning. Can you imagine? Actually, you've seen a 5 in the morning, Bruno.
I've seen 5 a.m., Bruno, yeah.
Yes. Every time we do a 24-hour podcast. Mm. But that's not me when I start doing the planking and I start, coming back.
Yeah, about 5 o'clock is about planking time, isn't it? Yeah,
oh, maybe I'll try that real quick.
Yeah, do a plank, see how it goes. Right, we normally start the podcast with an opening question, and we were sent one by our chief question giver, Mr. Martin, a.k.a. The Unflushable. He sent me a Reddit post with a question, which is, confess a gaming sin you regularly commit. Yeah, so a gaming sin you regularly commit. And before you guys give me your answers, I like the first comment straight away from Sammy Anarchist, great name. He says, "I never adjust the brightness until the logo is just barely visible," which I think is great because I do. I must admit, I always do, and then the game ends up being too dark, and I have to go back and just put it back to a normal setting. Oh,
no, yeah, I always go too bright on that one. Oh, brighter than they recommend always.
Yeah.
So you want to see what's happening? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your gaming scene? I'll start, because obviously I just gave you the question and I had time to think about it, right, myself. So I'll start and then go to you guys. Mine is not really a gaming scene, I don't think, but some people might perceive it as a gaming scene depending on the game, and that's saves coming. So I do that a lot in a game. So I am a game like, say, Skyrim or something like that, big boss battle, save, you know, let me go and do the, because I haven't got time to do the whole thing again sometimes, you know, or that's a big jump. If the game allows me to save before the jump, I'm saving before I do this crazy jump, because likely I'm going to miss. Also, I find that saves coming leads to more enjoyment. Sometimes you're like, oh, let me do it the right way. Oh, let me just reload again. Let me try something really stupid now. Oh, cool. That's really cool. I didn't know you could do that. So yeah, save scamming is my scene, even though a lot of games encourage it. Like, say, you know, Bethesda games and stuff like that encourage the save scamming. You guys save scam at all?
I usually forget to. So otherwise I would.
Yeah, I do sometimes. It very much depends on the type of game, I think, as to how appropriate safe scumming is and whether I do it. I always follow a three manual save rule.
Okay. Yeah. Me too. It's funny. Yeah. It's a rule of threes, right? Yeah. And you keep overwriting the oldest one, right?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
That in itself can be seen as a game scene, because a lot of people should have a lot more saves, because you never know what you want to be loading back to, you know.
I can't manage all of that, but that is a rule that I do follow.
Yeah. So what's your gaming scene, Paris, if you have one?
I wasn't sure on the answer to this one, and I'm not sure if this is really a sin, but I don't read the loading screen tips.
Okay, yeah. the loading screen tips, I don't either, to be fair, for the most part. But I have found sometimes the odd, when I like read them, like, oh shit, I didn't know I could do that. And then I use it.
Some of them are useful, but I find 99% to be completely useless stuff that I already know.
Isn't that a bit of a losing art? Because with SSDs and M.2s, that's becoming less of a thing, right? Sorry, go ahead, Donut.
I mean, somewhat. That's less of a thing. I mean, it it all depends on the game and the developer, but I mean, there's a game that we're going to be talking about later that the loading screen dialogue at the bottom is actually fantastic to read, and I highly recommend it.
I used to love loading screens that had other games on it. Like, there was, I remember there was one where you played Space Invaders while the game was, I forgot which game it was.
Yeah. What game was it? Namco did it, so they did it with Ridge Racer and Tekken are the ones that stand out.
Yeah, that's great. Do that. Give me a little game to play while it loads. And then take as long as you want, because I'm playing this game now. It's fine. Yeah, absolutely. What's your gaming scene so far? I don't think either of us are a scene, really. You know, to be fair, mine's probably more of a scene, I guess, for some people. But what's yours, Donut?
So I would have two that instantly kind of came to my mind. So the first one is, if I have to read the story, I don't care about the story anymore. I'm just playing the game. Too much reading. No. Get me into the action. But the second one, a little bit more of a bad habit, but reloading the clip in a gun after firing just one bullet.
Yep. You know, that is a scene. That is a scene that I commit all the time. And some games punish you for that, because some games go like, "Oh, you're gonna reload." Like Half-Life Alyx being one of them. You're gonna reload with a bullet. Yep. Great, you just lost the rest of your bullets that were in the magazine. I think when we talk about Helldivers, this is gonna come in play, right, Donut? Because this is exactly where it becomes a big scene in a game like that. So what was your first one again? Sorry, you just said before the reloading the game, no reading.
That if I have to read the story, I don't care about the story.
Yeah, I know sometimes it comes with production costs and video games are expensive to make as it is. Yeah, but to me, you spend a lot of time and money with these writers writing great content, right, on a tablet or something, yeah? And I'm not going to pick a tablet up and start reading, yeah, on the screen, what's happening, you know, like all these bits of things that add character, you know, world building and character building, a lot of that. I'm not going to stop. Just get something to read it for me. I mean, even if it's AI reading it, yeah, I want to keep playing the game, and you just read what I've just picked up, because I'm not going to stop there for, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, reading like these three pages of this thing. It's just I'll keep playing. Just read it back to me. But you're right. If you have to read the story, probably the story is not going to be great.
It's like the only time that I would want, like, you know, the navigator that reads all the text on the screen for you and everything. That's the only time that I would ever want it on, is for it to read the story if the game doesn't do it itself.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, games like Bioshock, for instance, are really good at telling the story, right? Through great storytelling. And I do think the because you can actually pick stuff up and you read the audio logs, right? And I do think they add a lot to the story as well, but you don't need them to understand what's happening as well. So some games do it well, right? They can you know, read or tell you the story on an audio log, you know, just to make the story even better while still, you know, being able to give you the story without reading those as well. Sometimes The Last of Us is also good at doing that. Yeah, I think some interesting gaming scenes there, but I don't think any of them are really that bad. I mean, nothing beats really addressing the brightness. That's very funny. Right. Let's. We normally move on to the video game news, but there's nothing outrageous on the news recently. There's a lot more layoffs and stuff like that. The only interesting thing I want to touch on that on the video game news is Toys for Bob, you know, the developer. They were recently, you know, closed down from Activision, but they came back up again, and they're going to be doing independent games, but working with Microsoft. I think what that means is Microsoft will give them the money, will give them the IPs, like some of the, because obviously they did the, you know, some of the Activision games now. So
Spyro, Crash Bandicoot,
that type of stuff. So I'm hoping they give him like Spyro or something, and they just do an independent game of, you know, like a Spyro or something like that. That'll be really cool. So I think that's quite cool that they were able to come back as an independent developer, and I quite like their games. So we'll see what comes up. But yes. So other than that, a lot more layoffs. It's crazy at the moment. Every week the news when I try to get all the news together, it's like another, you know, 1,000 jobs lost here, another, you know, whatever jobs lost there. So it's crazy at the moment, but hopefully we get through this and we recover with some good games coming up hopefully people stop losing their jobs. But yes, let's move away from that then and move over to the playlist, unless you guys have any news yourselves you want to touch. No,
I've got nothing.
Yeah, like I said, slow news week, to be fair, this week. Let's move on then to the playlist, which is the part of the show where we talk about the video games we have been playing over the last couple of weeks or so. And let's start with a game that both myself and Donut more than me, to be fair, have been playing, and that's Helldivers 2. Have you played Helldivers 2, Marius? No?
No.
You played the original one, though? You played the first one, I think.
No.
You didn't? Okay, fair enough.
Oh, really?
I thought you had played the original. I haven't played the original myself, to be fair. Right, take us away, Donut. Talk to us about Helldivers 2.
I mean, Helldivers 2 is basically the best Starship Troopers game and the best Terminator game mixed into one. And basically, you know, it's squad-based, up to four players. Go in, complete these missions, trying to retake over these planets from the evil robots or the evil bugs. And it's always a losing battle. It's always chaotic. Some of the best parts of the game are just the unscripted things where, like, you accidentally call up a stratagem that will cause an airstrike, but then you get hit by a shot from one of the robots, and so it drops right at your feet, and your teammates are all around it. So all of a sudden, you and your teammates go scrambling away from this airstrike, and it just obliterates, like, half your team, and you just hear them, you know, screaming like, "Are you gotta be kidding me?" Like, you know, it's just a riot of a time. And I mean, you know, like a lot of other online only games that are from, I wouldn't say smaller publishers, but not expecting the amount of players.
AA.
You know, not expecting a million plus players at a time kind of thing. And again, like, just like some of the other games before, it was server issues, queue times, all those kind of things that kind of hit early on. And thankfully, Sony and the group that developed this game have already fixed those issues. Like, ever since, like, I want to say, the first week of release, I've not had a single issue with that since. I mean, there's still bugs. They're still working on things. Yeah.
I have a different experience when it comes to that. I had, admittedly, I haven't tried to play the last week or so. I think I played the game maybe four or five times, and out of the maybe 10, 12 times I tried to play, I couldn't join. I think it's outrageous that the game comes out and you haven't got an offline mode. You know, I understand that to play online, you need obviously co-op and you need to be on online. That's fine, yeah. But I don't understand how a game in 2024 cannot have an offline mode. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Yeah.
So I mean, my rebuttal to that though is, you know, it's similar to Diablo and those kind of things. Like, if you have an offline mode, you have to have it separate. So that means you have to build it differently than the rest of your game. And so that's going to add in cost, that's going to add in time for development, all those things. Like, it might come in time, but, like, the main issue was that it was a lot more popular than they expected.
Yeah, this is true.
That's great.
I know this is true, but it's not. I'm not just saying because I couldn't join the game. By the way, my overall thoughts on the game is I really like it, and I'll talk more on that in a second. So my overall thoughts on it are positive, but I'm touching. I like to, when I talk about a game that has positives and negatives, I like to start with the negatives and end with the positives. That's normally how I approach a game, and to me, not having an offline mode is like I said, it's outrageous. You know, I don't care if it takes more time to do it. What if I want to play it on a plane? What if I want to play it on my Steam Deck on a plane? I can't, because it's an online game, online only game, right? But it doesn't have to be, because I can go. If a game, okay, if you're gonna do that, don't let me go on my own then. If you're gonna do that, then it has to be co-op only. Yeah, and then I understand. Okay, so it cannot be offline mode because you can only play this game co-op. Yeah, that's fine. So if I cannot play the game co-op, I cannot play offline. I get that. But I can go on my own and just jump into a planet on my own and fight the bugs and fight the enemies on my own, right? So if I can do it on my own, that means it's a single player game as well. And if it's a single player game, you need to be able to play it offline. That's outrageous. So especially when then your game becomes too popular, which is fine, and then I cannot play. I paid for the game, paid £30 for the game, yeah, and out of the, like I said, 12, 13 times I tried to play, 7 or 8 of times, I couldn't play. Sorry, you cannot play the game you paid for. And no, you cannot play offline, fuck you. You know, there's the door, you know? The complain department is there, called Bin. You know what I mean?
I mean, I understand your sentiment, but I mean, what's essentially happening here is you're being a little bitch.
Thank you, Marius.
Yeah. Yep. Like, oh no, oh poor Bruno can't play again. Oh no, poor Bruno can't play again. You've got 4,000 other games on Steam that you've already got fucking in your library. Play one of them.
Well, it's what I did.
Like,
that's the bad point. Now onto the good points. Yeah. When you are playing the game, especially when you're playing with teammates, I like the game. So the shooting is fun, and there's team killing on. So it's always fun. Like when you throw an airstrike on your teammate by mistake and they die, you can quickly get them back again. So it's fine. And every time you use a stratagem, he uses a code. So it can be like up, down, left, right. Yeah, all of them always the same. So you kind of have to. Sometimes you're like, oh shit, I need to throw you're being attacked by bugs and you need to throw a airstrike and you need to remember or look to the side and see what the code is. So you kind of like, and then you mess the code up and shit. So you start again. So that adds to the intensity. And I remember one time as well, we were playing and then I saw this unexploded, bomb
a hell bomb. Yeah.
What's that? And I just shot it, yeah, and then poof, killed the whole team. So fun things, fun parts to be had. So, I know you guys are saying I'm being a little bitch about the offline mode and all of that. I'm not. You know, I'm not.
Well, it's 2-1. 2-1. You are.
Yeah. I really not, because the game I compare it to is Remnant 2. Remnant 2 is another game where you can play up to 3 players online, and it's great. I haven't actually played that one online co-op. I played the first one. And you can absolutely play the game offline as well. So I played it on a plane when I was flying back from Portugal. I played it offline, and then I came on, go online. He goes like, "You're online. Let me sync your stats. You're good to go online again." So it's and that's a smaller team that did it. So you can absolutely do an offline mode. So the small team, especially when you have Sony as the publisher behind it, I don't think the it costs more money to do. You got Sony as a publisher.
I think if we roll the podcast back to when Microsoft announced that Xbox, was it Xbox One, that was going to be all digital all the time, always online, and you being fully in support of that decision?
I don't know if I was fully in support of the decision, changed? but I think to be fair to me, to past Bruno, I think the thing was he had to go online to validate any new games, which is fine, yeah, but you could play offline. You could absolutely play offline games. You just, but you have to go online to validate any new games, which I am in support of. So I think it's a bit, I think it's not quite the same thing. Yeah, I am in support of, you know, yeah, I need to go online to say that these games are mine. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. That's okay. But you know, that's, but it's different from being, from having an offline go, offline mode. But anyway. Helldivers 2 is a lot of fun, a massive success. They've upped the servers, as Donut said now. So I think you can have up to 600,000, you know, players. And by the way, they're hitting these numbers. They're absolutely, you know, hitting these numbers. And it's actually shows that Sony and maybe Nintendo is listening, but Nintendo doesn't listen to anyone other than themselves. But it shows Sony that it does pay to do a concurrent launch, so both on PlayStation and PC at the same time, because then you get the numbers, especially on multiplayer games. Then you get the numbers. Yes, you may sell one or two less PlayStations, but you sell more games. And by the way, you make more money on games than you do on consoles. And that's the part where
you say that, but wasn't having the numbers the problem here as to why it didn't work? Because they had too many numbers.
Oh, they needed more service. I mean,
they wanted less numbers, not more.
I know, but they
only needed a select few. Okay, yeah. You know.
But no, it's a fun game. It's a fun game, and you kind of like he has the monetization on the game as well. I don't think it's too crazy. The only thing I'll say against it is there's literally absolutely almost nothing I want to buy on it. So I think it's not aggressive. The prices for the things are not crazy to buy, like skins and stuff like that. Only problem with them is they're pretty much all ugly, you know. So I don't want to buy. I don't want to spend any money, you know.
Man, I have a feeling that this podcast title is going to be "Little Bitch Activated."
I'll write it down.
No, so let's go into the microtransaction aspect of it. Yeah, I mean, the store is small right now, which I'm perfectly fine with, because exactly. I don't want to be overloaded with $30 skins, yeah. You know, like Overwatch or Diablo or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, but the best thing that this game does that all these other games really need to do is you can earn the premium currency by playing the damn game.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, Fortnite does that, for instance, you know, and it's probably the biggest game in the world. You know, yeah, it's a great thing. Yeah, I agree. Like I said to you, I think it's great the what they've done with the store. I think things are not super expensive, and yes, you can earn the currency to buy said things in the game, and that's all great. My only problem with it is there's absolutely nothing I want to buy. Everything is a bit, you know, a bit too garish. But
it's early, Bruno. It's early.
I know.
Time.
What I'm saying is, yeah, this game here would have got my two thumbs up plus my 2 feet with thumbs up at the same time on if you just had early access. Then I would add zero problems with it. Yeah, because
so to me, early access makes the server situation better.
Oh, makes it understandable. No, it's early access. You know.
It doesn't get 2 thumbs up because you're a little bitch. That's what it is, you know.
Fair enough. No, I know you like the game a lot, and I do too. And I think when you're playing, especially when you're playing with two or three players friends at the same time, this game is a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. I mean, you can even be a twat. I remember we were playing a game and a level, and everyone was like, fighting these robots, and I was like, I'm just gonna throw a fucking airstrike on all of them. I just killed the team, and I was like, oops, oh, I didn't see you guys there. Sorry. Then I just played ignorant, and then just called them back in again, and I was smirking in the back. So yeah, it lets you be a twat, which I like a lot. So there you go. That's Helldivers 2. All things, like all negative things I said apart.
For you to play a game, isn't it, Bruno?
Absolutely, yeah. All negative things I said apart. I think this is a top tier game that everyone should play. It's priced well at about 30 quid. It's priced well. And there's a lot of content there to be had. So yeah, it's definitely gets a recommendation from me. was it 2 weeks ago? Probably wouldn't have got a recommendation because I couldn't get into the game, and I was considering I could. By the way, you couldn't refund it because you played more than 2 hours, so you couldn't refund the game anyway, even if you tried. So unless you play the first time, then you cannot get on and you cannot refund the game because you played more than 2 hours. Yeah, I would have. By the way, I would have refunded the game if I could back then. Now it's definitely gets a recommendation now that they've sorted the servers. Right, little bitch deactivated. Carry on. Let's go to this game that Maris has been playing called Nidus or Nidus.
How
are you saying this?
Nidus. I think I'd go Nidus.
Okay.
Go Nidus if you want.
Nidus. It's an American developer, so Donut, you can have the final say on this one here.
Probably Nidus, but who knows?
Let's go with that. Nidus, then.
So it's a sort of twin stick shooter, very visually looks wicked, quite sort of psychedelic-y design to it, very bright and colourful. But it's twin stick shooter in a slightly different way to most, in that one stick controls this sort of flower that you can move around, and the other stick controls a wasp. They have sort of like a symbiotic relationship. They're actually sort of linked together. So essentially, the flower is like the more sort of defensive, sort of healing element, and then the wasp is what you use for attacking. I have to say, I really struggled with this one. I looked at it and I thought, oh, this looks exactly like my sort of thing. And I think this might be my problem more than the games, perhaps. It suffers from that thing of patting your head and rubbing your tummy. I just couldn't handle controlling the two things at once, to be honest with you. I found it really difficult. And they are completely linked. It's almost like they're on a elastic band, joining them together. And I just found it. I found it quite confusing, to be honest. It's one of those. I did try it several times to get into it, and I popped the difficulty down on easy, and I did better there. It might be one of those things. If you put a lot of time in, it's probably quite in depth, and there's probably quite a lot going on with it. For me, my brain couldn't take it, I'm afraid. I love the visual, the design and the visual design and stuff is good. Just wasn't quite for me, this one. I just thought it sounded like an intriguing idea, so I wanted to give it a go, but it didn't quite pull it off for my personal taste on this one, I'm afraid.
Yeah, this is this game looks interesting. It's we got obviously given a code for this, and It's actually the developer and publisher is Caleb Wood, which is the name of the developer. I think this is a one person doing the game, and it's an artist. Yeah. So from the artwork on it, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it looks like he's trying to go for something else there, like even the description, like you said, the symbiotic flower and wasp struggle to complete their life cycle, which. It sounds super interesting. It sounds like maybe the gameplay wasn't quite there for you, it's cheap enough. You know, it's £7, £7.49 on Steam. I think it's one of those. You know, give it a go because
it's worth a shot.
Worth a shot. You certainly looks striking. I think you don't know anything about this game, do you, Donut?
No, I mean, I just was looking it up. I mean, it looks quite interesting. I mean, it definitely seems like you have to be equal left and right brain to be able to coordinate this together. But I like the idea of it in a twin stick shooter. It might be a little bit rough, especially if it gets a little bit bullet helly at times. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I definitely wouldn't mind trying it. Seeing if I have enough coordination.
looks good. Right, let's move over then to the next game here. I played a game called Rip Out, which is I think the description of it is Doom meets Left 4 Dead. Yeah, and I must admit, having played it, it's neither of those two games. I think it's a terrible description. it's a good game, but a terrible description. For it, I would say it's more like if you play the a game like GTFO, where you go into this spaceships and or locations, right? And you go deeper into the facility, and you do an objective, be it escort something or disable something or kill something or be it whatever it is, and then you get the fuck out. Yeah, you try to get out. So you're on the spaceship, and you can only play the co-op with friend of the show, Mr. Pot. You go and do these missions. You could, you know, like I said, it could be like go and escort this missile so that the missile gets armed, or go and destroy this generator, whatever. And then you have these zombies and other alien things attacking you, and you obviously you're shooting them like just a standard shooter as you go. And it has roguelite elements to it, where not so much roguelite, but like the things where you can upgrade. You find these upgrade stations where you can say, more stamina, or you go like more damage with the gun. You can like select your loadout as you go. And you complete these missions, and say a mission, if you complete it, maybe like if you complete it, you unlock the shotgun, and then you can spend materials you find in this ranch to unlock the shotgun, and then you can add the shotgun to your loadout. So the whole point is you keep unlocking either blueprints for new guns or new pieces of armor, and then use the upgrades create those weapons or armor, and then you can equip it for future runs as they get harder and harder and harder. So yeah, it's a fun game. It looks really good. It looks really it has like ray tracing and all of that stuff. So it looks really cool. The shooting is fine. I think it's quite okay. It's quite hard actually, and it does really you really need to do good co-op on it. So there's another element when you get down, you have one free revive. But if you don't use the revive, you can get revived. But sometimes, like, Pod was like, I'm down. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to get to you, mate. So you need to get up quickly. Use your revive and come and help me with this big guy. Or sometimes, like, no, don't use revive. I got this. I'll come and pick you up in a second. Don't worry. No, I'll pick you up. So it does have that co-op thing where you really need to stay together. It's very dark as well. You need to use your flashlight. Flashlight runs out, so you need to, you know, conserve the energy for that. It's a horror game in space. With all those nice elements, it's I think it's a really great game actually. Yeah, it's really like.
Yeah, it looks really nice actually. Yeah, I've just been watching the trailer while you're talking, and yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I just don't think it's Doom or Left 4 Dead. That's all. But it's not a bad thing. It's just it's.
I mean, the visuals look very Doom.
The visuals are Doom. Visuals are very Doom. Yes. But yeah. No, I really like it. Rip Out is great. I'll have you play more of it. It's definitely a recommendation from me. It's not too. It's an early access still. It's not too expensive. About £20, £21. So it's price is fine. Yeah, I like it. Donut, I know you've been thinking about getting into this game yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed watching you play with Pot the other day. And, you know, I mean, immediately watching it, it had that GTFO-style vibe. Yeah. But definitely graphically, I could see where they were kind of like Doom.
Yeah.
But it's not as slow as GTFO is. GTFO is much more slow, methodical, stealthy. This one, it seemed kind of almost chaotic GTFO, after the assaults happening and stuff, like you're just scrambling around just trying to stay alive.
That's right, yeah. GTFO is more you get to a place and you hold up, you know, get your turrets, get everything ready, we're gonna try to sustain the attack. Where this one is more a bit more open, like Doom. But to me, Doom is very fast. To me, Doom is like it's all about super fast. You're shooting, you're jumping into enemies. You know, like, especially more recent Dooms, right? But I can see, like I said, I can see why they said Doom and Left 4 Dead, because obviously there is a bit of Left 4 Dead in this, I guess, as well. But to me, that, like I said, it evoked more something like GTFO, which is not a bad thing because I really like GTFO. And this is better. This is better, as in it's a bit easier than GTFO. GTFO is very hard. It's very hardcore. Very, you know, this is a bit better and more rewarding. I felt like I was upgrading my weapons faster because I was, you know, I was able to escape with stuff, and so the loop was good, and I was enjoying it more. Yeah, no, this is good for what they have so far. This is good, and interesting to see where they go from here with this early access game. And I haven't tried playing offline, but I think you might be able to play offline, so it's already, you know, better than Helldivers. You know, it's a joke. Don't jump at me. Right. What we got here? Let's move over to Poppy Playtime. What's this? What is this we got here, Donut?
So Poppy Playtime, it's been around for a couple of years now. It's a puzzle horror game. Similar to like Five Nights at Freddy's. You are this mystery employee returning to this toy factory, and you're like uncovering the mystery, and you kind of get trapped in. But like this toy factory, like on the surface, seemed on the up and up, but very much like Rainbow Corporation, there was a lot of sinister things going on below, where they were taking orphans and using those children to put into living toys and just all kinds of just evil things. And the toys ended up revolting in what's called the Hour of Joy and basically killed all the employees. Recently, Chapter 3 of this episodic adventure came out, and this has been something that my son and I, he's 10, he is obsessed with this game. So Chapter 1 we played together, Chapter 2 we played together, and now Chapter 3 we played together. And it is a very good puzzle game, like not too scary, which is good, you know, for a 10-year-old and everything, but definitely some dark notes to it and all that. If that's your kind of genre, if you do like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's or some of the other horror puzzle games out there, I mean, this is a really, really solid one. And you can play the first chapter for free now. So, and then buy the two additional chapters if you enjoy it. So,
yeah, I saw that there. So you can add the game to your library, so you can play the first chapter, and then you buy the chapter. I quite like that. I like episodic gaming sometimes, especially you can play the first one if you like it. You know, buy some more. I guess it's like an extended demo in a way, right? It looks quite cool. But when you say you play together with your son, he says you're a single player, so I'm assuming you play together as in pass a controller, just that type of stuff, right? Okay. Yep. It looks really cool. Got to. Over 10,000 very positive reviews. Over 10,000 reviews of very positive being the aggregate. That's what I meant. It looks interesting. Not my type at all. Yeah. But maybe Marius's type. Yeah.
Yeah. It does look like my type of thing. I mean, you say it's not that scary. It looks pretty terrifying to me.
I mean, there's moments, but it's not too bad. Like, I mean, if my son can try go through it. Like,
I mean, the hands like that are creeping me out. Just walking with the hands like that.
Yeah, the grab pack, which it's a cool little feature that they have in the game, is that grab pack. So,
yeah,
different hands do different things. And
it's funny when I saw the game written down, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was going to be some sort of play with a puppy, you know, and like just feed it and stuff like that. I wasn't expecting that at all. No, looks cool. Looks cool. Yeah, not my type of game, but it's add to time. You can just play the first chapter for free, so why not, right? It doesn't get much easier than that as a recommendation. All right, let's go through some of your games here now, Marius, because then we have only have one more that myself and Donut have been playing. So RoboCop Rogue City, now that you got your PC up and running again, you've been playing some more of that?
Yes, yeah, I've finished it. I mean, I've been playing a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
my selection, my games on my list is just a mere selection of the games I've been playing. I've been getting through a lot of games, man. But yeah, RoboCop Rogue City is great. I know, Immortal, you played this, didn't you? And yeah, I mean, I love it. I spoke about it before. I played the demo, and it's just like, oh, they just fucking get RoboCop, man. Like, they absolutely get it. It like, the style, the tone, having some of the same actors back and things like that. It's just very, very RoboCop. It is, you know, first-person shooter. Slightly different to others in that, you know, because you do play RoboCop, who is essentially a walking tank. It's a bit slower pace than a lot of others, but just so much fun. Like that handgun that he's got is just amazing. You do have other weapons you can use, but you almost don't need them. It's like, you know, 99% of RoboCop's problems are solved by making people's head explode. But it also allows different approaches to things. Like, you can, like, there's fairly extensive sort of leveling up system where you have various different traits that you can level up. So, for example, you can have improved dialogue options where you can see what the best sort of dialogue choices are to select, so that you can find out more things about the particular mission that you're on and things like that. Or you can power up, level up your hacking skills so that you can get into safes and stuff without having to find the combination and stuff like that. So it allows for sort of more additional stuff rather than just making people's head explode. And, you know, I think it tells quite a good story as well. It's probably quite, it's a classic RoboCop story of, you know, a man versus machine thing, and him struggling with his sort of current situation. I really enjoyed it. You know, I'm a big RoboCop fan anyway. And I thought this game was excellent. Lots of side missions as well. I didn't do all of them, but you know it's a fair chunk of game there. I think there are some complaints. It sort of glitched out and crashed on me a few times. So it's not entirely stable. And there's some, suspension of disbelief required for certain things, like some gamey things in there. Like, one of the ways that you can gather experience is to you collect like evidence of crimes around the city, you know. There's one scene at the end where you're in a prison. And like, they're saying, oh, you picked up a stolen handbag. It's like, where are prisoners stealing handbags from? They're in the middle of prison, all locked down. Like there's just a few weird things like that. Returning to some locations and characters and stuff from the film was good as well. Yeah, I was 100% all in on RoboCop Rogue City. I think it's a solid game in its own right, but with the RoboCop license and for existing fans of RoboCop, I think this is a phenomenal game. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, I mean, if you are into first-person shooters and you are a fan of RoboCop, you've got to play this game. Like, yeah. It's going to satisfy that itch for you 100%.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan of RoboCop, it might not be for you necessarily, because like, it is a little bit slower. You're just kind of plodding along, but you are a tank. You just go in there and, you know, there's, you know, 20 different drug dealer guys and every single one of them sitting there unleashing AKs at you. And you just take out your auto 9 pistol and pop, 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 all their heads explode. Yeah. And you just keep on going.
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
On the RoboCop world, it's just a Tuesday. Right. You've also been playing American Arcadia, which is a game I know you talked about before when you played the demo, and it's on sale at the moment. And I don't know anything about this game, so you tell me, and I might just go ahead and press purchase. Go and tell me what
I mean.
It's
you
about.
Just need to buy, you in particular, I think, need to buy it, Bruno.
Okay,
there you go. Just do it now. Yeah, I think you'll really like it. So essentially, this is the Truman Show, the game. Mm-hmm. In terms of its setup, you play this sort of average Joe living in this sort of like 70s-ish sort of world, which is actually, you know, a TV show, and you know, much like Truman, he finds this out, and is the game is essentially him trying to escape from this TV show, and he has some help from another character who's outside, essentially working for the TV production company, who sort of hacks into it so that she can talk to him and stuff, and it does some really cool stuff. So it's very much like in the style of like Limbo or Inside, a sort of side scrolling little sort of puzzle platforming, but there's really nice stuff where like you essentially have the two characters. So this one character will be looking at the scene through the CCTV. But you're controlling both. You're both controlling the cameras, and you can interact with some elements in the environment to like move things, like maybe move a crane or something, so that the guy can walk over it. So you're sort of doing those two things in tandem. Which is really cool. I think the story's told well. Really nice sort of visual design, quite stylized, cartoony design. Made me chuckle a couple of times. And some of my complaints is like some of the stuff I found a bit trial and error-ish. I found that there were certain areas where I felt it was quite tricky to do it in the time allowed on your first run through. So you know, I mean, the reloads are very, very generous and stuff. So it didn't present an issue to me. But it was you sort of couldn't do it without failing first, I felt. Yeah, I really love this, and I think this has got you written all over it, Bruno. I think you would really like it.
I think I'm down. I think I'll get it. But there's so many games to play. So the only thing that might stop me is how long to beat, you reckon, more or less?
Oh, a few hours.
You are like four
hours, four okay, to five,
that's,
maybe.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, I'm sold. Sold to the highest bidder. No, that sounds great. I like everything about it. And I also, every time you talk about this game, I think to myself, I haven't seen Truman Show in so long. I need to watch that movie again, because I think Jim Carrey is actually really good in Truman Show. I mean, Jim Carrey is good in a lot of things, but he's from an acting point of view, he's actually quite very, very good in the Truman Show. Because normally he plays Jim Carrey, right? But on this one, he's, you know. Is I guess he's playing Jim Carrey still, but you know what I'm saying, not as much. Yeah. Cool. American Arcadia. Some good games. You have been playing older games, haven't you? Another game you've been playing is Avoid Hope.
Yeah, indeed. So again, got a code for this one on the Switch, so I was playing it. It reminded me how good the Switch was. I haven't played my Switch for ages. It's like, what a beautiful little console that is.
Crazy good, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a small sort of indie game. It's like a side-scrolling sort of puzzle platformer. So it's sort of set in this world where there's a sort of disease has broken out, where everyone sort of turns into these sort of like shadow of themselves sort of thing. They lose their memory. And get a bit zombie-ish, I guess, to be fair. And you play, like, the story is about this couple who's sort of one of them sort of wants to go and just, like, basically do a Shaun of the Dead, and not quite the Winchester, not quite the pub, but is sort of like just wants to go and sit in a cabin and wait till this all blows over, and then she's like wants to try and, you know, think she's got a way to help cure this, and that you sort of plays both of them in certain sections during the game. It's sort of like a very retro. It's one of those sort of pseudo 16-bit type graphics.
I like that.
I think the most impressive thing about it is its atmosphere with what it does, the way that it's like lots of it's quite sort of dark and atmospheric, just sort of quite the lighting is done really well, and the soundtrack is amazing, like really good sort of synthy soundtrack, sounds very sort of like 80s sort of horror movie type sounds going on there, which I think really, really adds to it. And so if you go through each level, you'll have certain things to do, like you'll have certain tasks to do. So it might be collect, find an object, do something on the sort of shut down a computer and find the exit, something like that. And there's an element of backtracking to certain other levels, because like you might have, like, for example, one of the objects you find is a crowbar, which then allows you to get through doors that have been boarded up and stuff like that. So you have to go back to other levels to do it. And then for the shut down the computer ones, it sort of changes slightly. It's a bit of a almost like a snake type mini game in order to shut those down. And yeah, I really love it. It's small, 2, maybe 3 hours, I think, to play through it. I didn't find there's lots of secrets and hidden bits to find. I didn't find all of those, but I really enjoyed it. I think some of the it is a puzzle platformer, and the platforming isn't perfect for me, but that's not the main thrust of the game, so I guess it doesn't have to be, but I would have perhaps liked it to be a little bit tighter. And like the way it works, like with the combat, there isn't much combat in there. You do get a gun, which is unlimited ammo, but you have to sort of charge it up a little bit before it fires. It sort of works because there's the enemies are slow enough that you normally have time. A couple of things I'd change on there is like it does auto aim, like once you get the cursor near to them, it sort of auto aims on them. But what annoyed me, like, it didn't matter too much because like combat's not a big thing in there, it's there but not much of it. Forget the you can only use the right bumper to fire rather than the trigger. And there's no way to change the controls.
Oh no!
And it's just like it's like, why? It's really uncomfortable. And it's just like, yeah, I don't quite understand why they chose that. But
sometimes it's just a developing thing, like you know, especially with an indie game, like adding that is somebody's, you know, like working on it for a few days to add control mapping. You know, it might be low on the priorities.
But why did they choose that button? For the shoot button. Trigger that.
Maybe they were going for a node controller style where there was no triggers, there was only bumpers, you know.
And like the other thing is like the way these sort of the enemies manifest is like it's almost like a bit like there'll be loads of sort of NPCs dotted around. And they'll take one of them over, a bit like the agents in the Matrix. Like one of them will suddenly become, and like it can happen. It's the one that's right in front of you when you walk into that screen sometimes, and it's like, oh yeah, you're dead because you don't really have time to react. You can just like if you can run back out the screen and then walk back in, it resets, and it might not necessarily be that one. But there are a few occasions where it can sort of stitch you up a little bit. Yeah. Dependent on where they spawn, but no, I really like that. It's a really, really enjoyable game, and I think Again, for the price of it, it's fairly cheap. I forget how much it was, 10, 15 quid or something like that.
$13.50. However, there is a demo, so you can just go ahead and download the demo, which is always something to applaud, right? Especially on Steam. That's the demo. Try the demo. I mean, it sounds great anyway. So you know, if Paris hasn't sold it to you, then just play them. Incidentally, I'm installing American Arcadia just for that.
Well done. I think you'll enjoy it.
The same page. No, that sounds great. Right. So let's move on to the last game, and that's Balatro, which is a game that I have been playing, and I know Donut has been playing quite a bit, even though we were having a conversation pre-cast and he wasn't getting one thing, which I think is quite important in the game, so I think he's going to enjoy it even more now going forward. But what is Balatro? I tried to say to you, Maris, that you would enjoy this game, and you replied something along the lines of, are you really trying to sell me on a roguelike poker game as a game I would like? And I still stand by, I think you would, okay? I still stand by that. But what is Balatro? Essentially, Balatro is a poker roguelike game, with a deck building, you know, gimmick thrown in as well. So you start the game. You have a thing. You can start with two to three decks. You know, select which deck you want to play. Like literally, like blue, red, yellow type of thing. And they give you different starting points, whichever one you start. But the thing they all have in common is they all have 52 cards, like you have in a deck of cards, right? It might be that one gives you plus one hand or plus one discard, etc., right? And you start the game and with the cards, as I said, and you have per ante, you have the small blind, the big blind, and you have the boss, right? The way it works is you have four turns depending on which deck you picked, and you start and you literally start with 52 cards, and you try to make a flush or a straight, and you discard some cards, get other cards, and with the cards you have you try to make a hand, right? And that's how it starts, poker, right? Standard poker, make a flush, make a straight, make a two pair, make a three of a kind, whatever, yeah? And depending on which ones you get, say a straight will give you the amount of chips you get for the hand plus maybe let's say 20 chips, and then it gives you a times multiplier of 4. And the way that when you score, the way it works is let's say a 10, yeah, a 10 will give you, let's say you make a straight with a 10, 9, 8, 7, no, 6, 5, yeah, a 10 will give you 10 chips, a 9 will give you 9 chips, make it simple, yeah, an 8 will give you 8 chips, and so on, right? So all those chips together with a straight gives you a times 4 multiplier, right, plus 20, so you add all the things together times that's your how many chips you're going to get on that particular hand, and you need X amount of chips to be able to beat that particular boss you're fighting, okay? So there's a lot of calculating and thinking, because it doesn't tell you how many chips you're going to get for the hand, it just gives you, you know, you kind of have to add it up in your head. What it gets interesting is the moment you start playing the game and you start getting jokers, there's like 150 different jokers you can get throughout the game, right? And you might get a joker that says, okay, if you do a flush, right, we'll give you a plus 20 multiplier, okay? Or if you, or there's one which is like, oh, we let you do a straight by skipping a card. So you can go like, 6, 7, 8, 10, jack, you can miss the 8, so you can still do a straight, yeah? There's ones that say, you know what, diamonds and hearts are the same, and we see as the same, and spades and clubs are the same, so it makes it a lot easier to make flushes, because you can make flushes just with black cards, or make flushes just with the red cards, right? So that different jokers will give you then different abilities, and or adding to your multiplier even timesing your multiplier, so then you could have, for instance, I'll tell you an example of a run that I've only beat the game 3 times, and I'll tell you one of the times I actually beat the game. I had a joker, yeah, that said if you only play 3 cards, yeah, you get a plus 20 multiplier, okay? I'm like, great. And then there was another joker that said if you do a 3 of a kind, okay, we give you 100 chips. Okay, I'm like, great. And then I had another joker that said, if you do a 3 of a kind, we times your multiplier by 3. Okay, So then I was just making three of a kind all the time. So I was going like, oh, three twos, doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, three twos, you know, plus 100 chips, plus 20 multiplier. That's already, you know, 100 times 20, right? Times three. So that was just absolutely killing it, right? And then I was buying cards. I was buying multiple cards, multiple aces, multiple kings, so I can so I'll have a better chance of making those three of a kinds. There's all of that. There's tarot cards, which allow you to change the suit. That was a particular run, which I thought was really interesting that I did, where I kept getting these tarot cards to turn the cards into hearts. So I kept going like, okay, I'm going to turn three spades into hearts, and then I'm going to turn three clubs into hearts. And I kept turning everything into hearts. I end up with 30-odd different hearts, right? And the rest of the deck consisting of the other suits. And then one of the bosses said, hearts are disabled. And I'm like, oh shit. That was me gone on that run, yeah? So anyway, the gameplay loop on this game is perfect. It's made by one guy only, yeah? And the gameplay loop is absolutely perfect. If you like poker, which I do, if you like roguelike, which I do, this is perfect game. Donut, you've been playing this as well, and what do you think about it?
So when you first told me about this game, I was like, okay, poker, roguelike, okay, you know, I'm intrigued. Let me see you play it. And then you started playing it, and I was like, this just kind of looks boring. Okay, you know, the jokers do different things, but yeah, whatever. And then I gave it a little bit more time, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it. Like, I'm a sucker for poker. And yeah, I've been quite addicted to this game. And nice thing is, a run lasts, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So you can get a session in pretty darn quick. The jokers are definitely interesting. I mean, it's one of those that you kind of have to build your run on the jokers that you kind of see at the start. And then you get the other cards, like the planet cards, the tarot cards, and just kind of change the game on its head. And then when you think you got it licked, just like you said with the hearts, like, it just pulls the rug out from under you and says, ha, you're screwed. Start back from the beginning. Try again, buddy. But I like the fact that not all the jokers are unlocked at once. You have to do different things to unlock them, have to play so many hands, all those different kinds of things. I like that not all the decks are unlocked right away as well. So you start with one deck. After you play, you get the second deck, which is the blue deck. After you play a couple more times, you get the yellow deck. And then you have to start winning with the different decks to unlock the other decks. There's a lot of replay value, and each deck does something different. So, like, the blue deck gives you an additional hand to be able to play. The yellow deck gives you additional starting money, so that's a good, you know, place to start with. So just the strategy aspect of it. I mean, the one thing that just kind of turned me off from the game, and I'm thankfully I got past it, but it's got that annoying, like, character when they're, like, saying the text that's on the screen, that's like Animal Crossing, that, like, it's, yeah. You know, thankfully it only pops up, like, at the end of a run. After the beginning, like the beginning, when you go through the tutorial, like, it was maddening. I was like, shut up. But after that, smooth sailing.
It's funny how different things affect different people. I never even clicked on that. I never even clicked to me that was a thing, you know, like, it was telling me things and I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm not even looking at it. It's the joke coming in and saying basically you suck as well when you lose. Oh, you sucked at that hand, you know, like that type of stuff, you know. Yeah. It's supposed to be annoying, so I guess that's fine. But like you said, there's different decks. There's a deck I'm playing in particular now that has no face cards, so then it becomes all about straights then for me anyway. So I'm like, okay, let me just keep leveling up, because you can level up your hands as well. So you can use the planet cards to level up your straight, for instance. So that it gives you more multiplier, more chips per run. But some of the bosses are brutal. There's the one, like I said, that disabled my hearts, which killed me. There's one that goes like, "Hey, all cards are played upside down. Good luck." And you're like, oh, shit, what? So then, you know, like, how do you play that? Because all the cards always come up in order. So from ace to two, right? But you don't know which cards you have. So then you start going like, let me play five in a row. I hope I have a straight. You know, or hope I have a two pair or a three of a kind. You know, it really fucks you up, some of those bosses. But there are things like you can unlock a boss reroll. You know, so you really need to try to plan it ahead. That's why I got, I want to say, Bellatro, I'll quickly check here, but I want to say I probably have close to 20 hours on it. I'm probably not far from it. Bellatro, I have 24 hours played on it. Yeah, I won three times. You know, so it's not an easy game. It's not an easy game, but it keeps getting me to go back to it. So it's an addicting game for sure for me. But I'm a big poker fan, and I like roguelites. But I do think there is a lot of strategy in this and a lot of thinking. You know, and proper. You know, the gameplay loop is really cool. What's up?
And the best thing for you is that it's got an offline mode.
It's got an offline mode, which, you know. You know, it's a winner in anyone's game, right? And I tell you what, there was no server issues. I was able to play the game. By the way, this game here is one of those. I want it to come out on mobile, but if it comes up on mobile, I might not do anything else for the rest of my life. I might just play this. Because this is a perfect game for mobile. It's absolutely perfect to play on the mobile.
Works phone. Great on the Steam Deck, so.
Yeah. This is, again, by the way, this is my game of the year so far, you know, and it's going to be difficult to beat. It's going to be interesting to see what games come out this year, but it's going to be difficult to beat this. We'll see when all the AAA start hitting, you know, we'll see what happens. You know. But yeah, it's my game of the year so far, and it's not even close. No, it's not even close. It's that good. Having said all that, I know you don't like roguelikes, Marius. I do think you might, that's a demo for it anyway, so you can try the demo. I honestly think this could be a game for you, because I know you don't mind poker. You know, I know you don't mind poker so much.
I have real no interest in poker whatsoever, Bruno.
You don't? Oh,
it's not. No, it's not really. No,
what can I say then?
Not one thing that you've said talking about that has made me even slightly interested in this game, I'm afraid.
Fair enough.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, but it's very clearly not for me.
Fair enough. All right, let's move away from the playlist and end the podcast with Why Don't You, which is the part of the show where we give you a recommendation of something to do, something to watch, something to eat, anything really, any recommendation for the next couple of weeks. And mine is, I've just finished listening or reading, I was listening, to The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, which I think you would like this, Marius. This is a... let me give you the ticks for this, right? Basically, is Mass Effect meets Firefly. Have I got you so far? Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a space opera, right? It's a space opera. It's... is really great world building and character building and character interactions. It's a really well written book. And basically, you follow this this main character, Rosemary. She finds herself in this spaceship called the Wayfarer, and like this beaten up tunneling ship. So in this universe, humans have. Gone into space, so the Earth is fucked, right? And the ultra rich have moved into Mars and colonized Mars, and the rest, a lot of the human surviving humans have fucked off in this fleet, you know, like away from Earth, and they got found by luck this alien race that helps them, and eventually, this is over hundreds of years. Eventually, they joined the Galactic Commons, or I forgot what they called it, but they basically joined the Galactic Commons, where there's like, you know, X amount of races, 7, 8 different like alien races on this, and they're part of this commons. And Rosemary, it comes from Mars, and she's escaping something, you know, they know more, but she kind of like joins this crew. And then there are these tunneling ship, which a tunneling ship is in this world you can travel through space at you know, up to the speed of light, but no more than that, because obviously it's impossible. However, you can tunnel through the fourth dimension. You can create your own wormholes with these tunneling ships, and which allows them to get into other stars and stuff like that, right? So they do that. That's what they do. They do tunnels. There's different types of tunnels as well. They do the small ones that can carry spaceships, but there's ones that can carry even bigger transport ships, etc., and so on. So they get offered this great job that they cannot turn down, and then they go on this journey. But what I like about the game, the book, is it's super well written. So all the characters are so well written, and it touches on so many things. On you know, is an AI that sentient? Should they have the same rights as other sentient beings? You know, that touches on not racism, but racism towards other species. Touches on interactions between different species, and also how different alien races, you know, look at the world. It really touches on so many different things. It's one of the best books I read in a while. It's truly excellent. And well, the narration took me a while to get into. When it first started, I was like, as you know, when you listen to an audiobook, I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm seeing enough distinction here on the voices. I'm not quite sure. And then afterwards, I was like, no, actually, it's quite good. I you know, I fell into it, and I was like, yeah, this is absolutely fine. And I quite enjoyed the narration. Yeah, I really liked it. And it's a space opera where there's hardly any fighting. It's more about just the interactions between the characters and the world building. And great. And it's part of a longer book series, The Wayfarers, which I think there's four books in the series. But my understanding is the books don't follow they follow different characters every time. It's more of not just you know, doesn't just keep on with the Wayfarer crew. It just goes on to other side characters or other things within the universe. I think it's anthology. I think is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Yeah, I recommend it. Both either the book or the audiobook, I truly recommend it. What's your recommendation, Sir Donut?
I'm going to go with something that I've been kind of doing the last couple weeks, and just relive some of the movies from your childhood or growing up, just something that you have fond memories of. So, like, I've been going back to movies from the 80s and 90s and just giving them a rewatch. You know, I did Big Trouble in Little China. Let's see here. The Beverly Hills Cop movies. Predator, like, just all these stuffs that I remember growing up with.
You've seen Beverly Hills Cop recently, right? And I forgot if it's I think that's four of them or something. And by the
three. The fourth one is coming out this year.
Oh, is that four? Okay, that's three of them. Yeah, right. And tell me this, because I'm forgetting the name of it now. It's obviously from the 80s or from the 90s, whatever. Is the character, that gay character that sells them the guns, is that acceptable still? Because I remember laughing my head off back then, but I don't know if it aged well, that character. Proper, like, super camp, selling them the guns. Do you remember that character?
Oh, yeah. Serge. No, I mean, like, he's just openly gay type character. I mean, it's not like flamboyantly, like, crazy, you know.
No,
like
wearing I seem to remember.
I think that's quite sound, to be honest. I think from memory, like, you know, they have a good relationship and that. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, you know, he's
super camp, though, isn't it?
He is super camp, but, like, it's never really mentioned. Like, you know,
I guess not. It's not like
Axel Foley gets on with him and stuff, and like, yeah, I think
Axel Foley is one of the best characters. His laugh is hilarious. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like the Beverly Hills Cop. So there's another one coming up. You're saying fourth one?
Yeah. So there's a fourth one coming out. I believe it's Netflix sometime this summer.
Yeah. So some of these movies don't age well. For instance, a while ago we talked on a podcast about Rush Hour, and Rush Hour has not aged well whatsoever. I mean, that movie is straight up racist.
That was racist. That's got nothing to do with that movie aging. That movie was racist
from day one. From day one,
that movie was just racist.
I mean, Jack Chan is good in it, because Jack Chan is good in everything, but that movie has not aged well at all. And so, well, by the point, I think you guys are saying it's probably it wasn't good to start with, I guess.
I enjoyed it, because it's Jackie Chan, isn't it?
And yeah, everyone likes Jackie Chan, yeah.
But some of the jokes in there are...
they're a bit... I like going back to movies from your past, you know, like Predator, you said, is great. I haven't seen Predator in a long time. First Blood, I like First Blood a lot. You know, Rambo First Blood. Is it called Rambo First Blood? Yeah, it's called Rambo. Yeah, Rambo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great... By the way, that is a really good movie. People probably sometimes think of it as an action movie. That's a really, really... It is an action movie. It's a really excellent movie about PTSD and returning from the war and having nothing and all of that. That's a really acted and movie that gets put into the action movie category, which it is, but it's actually a lot more than that, I think. First Blood is really excellent movie, as is Rocky, for instance, you know, as well. Rocky as well, again, it's another movie that is seen as just a boxing movie, but it's again another great movie from the 80s. It's always good to go back and listen, see some of them. Obviously, my absolute favorite is Blade Runner. I do like to go back and watch Blade Runner. There's like seven different cuts, by the way, of it, and I do like the final cut. Yeah, it's good to go back. Have you got any wants to go back to Marius from the 80s? That's you all the time. Anyway, you always go watching.
I do. Yeah, I was going to say that's quite normal for me. I go back to stuff a lot. I mean, obviously, we've already mentioned RoboCop is one that I go back to quite a lot. I do love that movie. Terminator.
Just missing the 80s by 1 year. Alien is one. I think every time I watch Alien, I always go like, "How was this done in 79?" Because it feels like it was done a lot. It's a lot newer because of how good it is. Mm. It just shows how much ahead of the. Can you imagine watching Alien back in 79? You know, going to the cinema and watching that, you would have been like, "What the hell was that?" You know,
It was good. Ghostbusters,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future.
I like Ghostbusters when Bill Murray in Ghostbusters is the thing. Isn't that part where he calls her a dog or something?
My girlfriend's a dog.
My girlfriend's a dog.
She sleeps above the sheets sometimes. 3 feet above the sheets.
Yeah, it's so good, man.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. I think my favorite Ghostbusters line is, "Where do these stairs go?" They go up, right?
I like
you smell something.
I like movies from the 80s. I mean, the best Lost movie Boys. From the 80s. I'm gonna tell you what's the best movie from the 80s, and you're gonna tell me I'm right, and then we can move on, okay?
Unlikely.
The best movie from the 80s is very simple, and that's Back to the Future. And tell me,
I think you might be right.
Is that
hard to beat.
It's perfect movies. It's
there is nothing wrong with Back to the Future.
I mean, there's other movies we talk which are great, but Back to the Future is that good. You know, you cannot really beat that one for a better movie from the 80s. I don't think.
Try. I mean, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is good.
Aliens. Aliens. I mean, you got to throw
there. Was that not 92? Could be wrong. No, aliens? You might be right.
No way.
Aliens 3 was like 92.
All right. 86. Fair enough. 86. Aliens is good. Aliens is good. Is Aliens better than Back to the Future? No, it's not. Okay. Well, we're getting a blanket. No, absolutely. Don't be silly, Bruno. Don't be silly. I like aliens a lot, though. He's stamping with aliens. I do like aliens a lot, but no, it's
yeah, aliens yeah. is good.
Back to the Future.
Back
to the Future is well, very well written. But yeah, it's good to go back to the '80s. Watch some movies from the '80s and mm-hmm. or nineties, depending on, you said from your childhood. It could be nineties. It could be even the nineties. You know, some people their like first movie on the cinema was Shrek. You know that. You know mm-hmm. there's some people that's their first movie, for instance. You know? And to those people, I say fuck you. What the fuck, Shrek? Hey, taking the piss. That's your first movie. Incidentally, we talked about it on the podcast before, I'm sure, but it's always good, always fun to go back to it if you can remember. Do you remember what the first movie you seen in the cinema? And by the way, I think I win by the best, because mine, I always forget which one came first, but I think mine was Jurassic Park, and I don't think you can beat that as a better first movie at the cinema. But the other one, which I'm never sure, because the other one is Lion King, so I don't know which one came first. But both of them are hard to beat as the first movie, and regardless, you know. So, do you guys remember what your first movie was?
I absolutely don't remember what the first one was, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Lion King is 1994, so Jurassic Park is the first one. Yeah,
I can't remember. One of the early ones would certainly have been which is clearly better than both Jurassic Park and Lion King. Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe is not better than Jurassic Park or Lion King. You are absolutely mad. Okay.
Oh man.
It's good. It's good, but it's not better than Lion King. Are you having a laugh? It's not better than Jurassic Park, though. You're saying yeah to Lion King, but you're not saying yeah to Jurassic Park. Because, by the way, Jurassic Park, and again, we're talking about the best movie from the 80s being Back to the Future. I don't think there's a better movie in the 90s than Jurassic Park either. It's hard to beat that one. I mean, that is, by the way, spoiler alert, that is, that's Pulp Fiction. There's other good movies from the 90s, of course. Again, that movie has aged well. Jurassic Park, you can watch it today.
Yeah, it has.
That movie has aged very well. You know, it just shows when you use practical animatronics. Effect. Yeah, practical effects. You know, the movie aged as well. You know, so.
I would say the movie. I mean, the movie that I remember going to the theater, and I mean, it's definitely up there as well in all-time great movies, and that would be Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's a very good first movie. You're in firm third place when it comes to first movie watch. Okay. We've established that. Okay, but I know you love E-Man. Is it Master of the Universe? E-Man is it?
E-Man.
I know you fucking love E-Man.
E-Man is someone completely different. You see him at raves, man.
I know you love he's got a tiger, saber-tooth tiger with him or something.
Cartoon, not in Masters.
Doesn't feature in the movie. No,
when I was in the movie,
crying shame.
But there you go. Right, I think
you've never seen the movie.
No, I've never seen the cartoon either. I've seen it with the cartoon only.
How can you judge it and say it isn't as good as Jurassic Park? Then you don't know. You haven't seen it. You don't know.
Masters of the Universe.
All right, so Bruno, you need to watch this. First of all, next podcast, you need to report back, okay?
Got a 5.4 rating out of 10, which is promising to start with straight away. Yeah. Oh, it's got Dolph Lundgren. I like Dolph. I like him in Rocky IV.
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you Dolph Lundgren.
It's got the dude that plays the principal from Back to the Future in it.
I don't know
what his name is.
Listen, yeah. To all of that, I say Velociraptor. Okay, and that's it. Or the T-Rex scene. Okay.
I think you've got a complete misunderstanding of what an absolute gem Master of the Universe is.
I'll tell you what. I'll watch this, and then I'm not gonna watch. You're right. I'm not gonna watch this. Before we finish, though,
you can stop lying about things you're gonna watch and do. Like, because every time you say you're gonna do it, I know you're not.
Listen, before we finish, because we are gonna say our goodbyes eminently.
No, we're not.
Oh, you got your why don't you as well?
Yeah.
What's your why don't you?
You can just sideline my.
He didn't write it down. If you don't write it down, how am I supposed to know you have one? You know what I mean? I don't read minds. No, what's your other one? Why don't you?
To be fair, Cat nearly had the laptop off the table and got caught up in the wires. Whoa.
Shell, stop it.
She's hassling me because she wants to try and plug some more biscuits out of me.
Sounds good.
Not only have I been playing a lot of games, I've been watching quite a lot of movies. Okay. I'm actually going to sneak a couple in. One is a series. We spoke about it before. But I've just rewatched all the John Wick movies, and the Continental TV series as well.
Is the series good?
It's all right. It's only three episodes. You know what I mean? It's 3 hours of TV.
Yeah,
3 and a bit hours. It's all right. Like, it's nice. It's not as good as the movies.
Listen, the movies. The movies. Talk to me. So, all four movies, right? You rewatch all four movies, yeah? Which one is the best one?
Best one.
The first one. The fourth one.
You like the fourth one.
Okay, so don't say the fourth one. You're saying the first one. I think it's the third one. So, isn't it funny how I really
didn't like the third one, but I think the third one's the weakest.
Oh man, I love the part with the dogs and everything, the dog foo,
that was good. I think the third one set piece wise has some.
The third one has the knife scene, the knife fight in the knife museum.
Yeah.
I think the some of the choreography and stunts and that probably get better as they go on. There's some really good stuff in the fourth one. I think as the overall sort of package, and I think the story of him and his dog and all of that stuff in the first one for me was good.
First one is great,
they're all great,
and it's interesting. Like, we three different people here all like all four movies, and our favorite is different on all three. I think it's fair to say that I think we all think the second is probably the weaker out of the four. Not a bad movie, but probably the weaker out of the. And I think it's to do with the baddie. I don't think the baddie is as good in the second one as it is on all the other three. But yeah, great.
I don't know. He's a slimy bastard, though. So I kind of like him.
Yeah. No, they're all of them are good. And it's just not just Keanu Reeves that makes it good, because he does make it good. Of course, it's all the side characters. What's the name of the guy that plays the Winston? Ian McShane. Phenomenal in it. Ian McShane is phenomenal in it.
The dude that plays the I like the what's his name? Concierge as well.
Yeah.
I forget.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, he passed away.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, his last movie he did, which we're not gonna see, we haven't seen yet, is Ballerina. There's another movie coming out in a John Wick movie. Called Ballerina with Ana de Armas, and apparently both Winston, so Ian McShane, Keanu Reeves, and that I'm forgetting his name now for the guy that plays the concierge. Because he was also in the video game
Horizon.
He was in Horizon. He was as well. He was great.
Go on.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I've also got another sneaky little.
Oh, you have some one more to throw in. Go on then.
I did tell you I had two.
Okay.
Nightcrawler.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
With
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah. That's a really good movie, by the way. That's a really, really good movie.
It is phenomenal, like this guy that just goes out and, like, he's a bit of a sociopath, isn't he? And he's just goes out and sort of finds his way by filming accidents, doesn't he? And horrible things that have happened to people to sell to the news. He's a bit of an ass, but yeah, really, really well acted, really well done, quite sort of creepy movie. Yeah, I really, really liked it. I didn't know much about it going in,
I like movies like that when you don't know much about it. I mean, if you haven't, can I tell you something?
Always try and do that with the movie. I think
you should. If you haven't seen this movie, and I've recommended it before, but so I'm not going to talk about it. But I'm just saying, if you haven't seen this movie, that goes for both of you. Just watch it. Yeah, it's called Blue Ruin. Okay, Blue Ruin, R-U-I-N. Yeah. So don't read anything about it. If you haven't seen it, just watch it. Yeah, because if you like John Wick movies, you're gonna like this one as well. Yeah, it's really good. Really, really good. And it's one of those, I didn't read much about it. I just put it on and I watched it. And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And it was really good. Yeah, Blue Ruin. So just, that's my recommendation. I'll say no more about it. Just not to give much away. But yeah. Was one of those that I watched without knowing much. Nightcrawler was similar. I like Jake Gyllenhaal and I just watched it. I watched it a while ago that the movie came out. But I remember really liking it. When was that? 2014, yeah, so it is a while ago. Right, before we do go, though, we have a complaint that was sent to us, to the podcast, because of the last episode we did with the game of the top 10 ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a question, Marius, okay? So, when we talk about Nintendo's second home console, okay, how would you say the name of Nintendo's second home console?
NES.
No, that's the first one. So the one that came after that. Sorry?
Okay. SNES is the second. NES and the SNES.
Oh, so you said SNES. You said SNES. Okay, that's how you'd say it. SNES, okay? Right. I agree. SNES, yeah? But the owner, when he talked about it, he referred to it as... How do you say? S-E-N-S?
S-N-E-S.
S-N-E-S. And people have complained saying, what the hell?
Which Marius just said, NES, and then SNES. Like,
And then...
It's just because you're lazy over there.
It's not his fault he's American, Bruno.
Well, by the way, both myself and you on the podcast, not even picked our ears. We couldn't care less. So let it be said that Monkey Tail stand on it is call it whatever the fuck you want. We don't care, yeah? Because that's how we were on the day. However, complaints have been raised. So saying it should be either S-N-E-S. So it should be SNES, yeah? Or Super Nintendo, right?
I already converted you.
No, it should be, I'm getting confused. It should be SNES or Super Nintendo. The good point we said was, that this led to some hilarity, was that if we're going to go by Donut's way of pronouncing things, then it's that big space agency in America is obviously NASA, you know, not NASA. Right, so having said all that, some people said, "Oh, should you be called the Nintendo?" I mean, the Nintendo is a bit ambiguous because there's so many Nintendo consoles. You cannot just call it the Nintendo, right?
Just call it another Nintendo. That's the sort of thing grandmas do.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should. I think SNES is the correct, either Super Nintendo or SNES are the two only options. Having said that, I don't care. Call it whatever you like. You know, as long as you call the Mega Drive, and not call it Genesis, like a fucking freak. We're all on the same page. I know it was called Genesis in America. Calm down, okay? It's a joke. I know it was called Genesis. Yeah. You're gonna call it whatever it's called there. You're not gonna call it something else. Yeah. If it's called Genesis, you're gonna call it Genesis, right? It's. But Donut is a bit converted anyway. Because
call it the
but Donut's converted because when he refers to Final Fantasy VI, he calls it Final Fantasy VI and not Final Fantasy III, even though it was called Final Fantasy III in America. So he's converted in certain parts. So that's a bit of a double standard. Sometimes you go with the European name or sometimes you go with the American name. So it's your own fault, right?
No. See, so for Final Fantasy VI, you know, this, it has been changed from Final Fantasy III, like in all the re-releases.
Okay,
like it's not called Final Fantasy III anywhere else except for on the Super Nintendo or SNES.
SNES. Just say SNES. It's not hard. Just try it. Try it for size. Just see how it feels when you say it. SNES.
No, he's not even doing
it. No.
It's never going to change.
Sounds dirty. No.
So, complaint heard, Martin. Thanks for sending your complaints in. And to be fair, it wasn't just Martin. It was also Craig. Craig also complained about it. Incidentally, and before we finish the podcast, now we're going to finish proper. Craig has asked us to do a special or a conversation. Maybe next podcast we can do it when we have more time. He wants us to debate the best video game series ever. Okay? So I think for the next podcast, well, hang on a second, for the next podcast, yeah, as long as we coordinate, yeah, we don't all come with the same one. Argument's sake, let's say Donut comes in with Zelda as a series, I come in with Metal Gear, and you come in with Tekken. I don't know, something like that, you know what I mean? So we all come in with one, as long as they're all different, and we try to debate which one is indeed the best video game series ever, and see if we can come up with some sort of answer or not. Maybe we can, you know, just... and by the way, anyone listening... you can send us your what you think it should be, the answer, to podcast@monkeytail.co.uk, and we'll come up with something. Maybe we can have a little discussion at the end of the next podcast about it, if you guys want. See what I'm sure we've had this before on the podcast. I want to say we definitely discussed this before. It sounds like something we've talked about before.
Yeah, it sounds like something we've done at least once.
At least once, if not more. But I cannot remember which episode we did it on. But... yeah, we can have the conversation, then we can all agree Zelda and then go home, you know, so it's fine. It's fine, you know, we can yeah, Resident Evil is another one we can throw in there. Metal Gear, definitely. You say no to Resident Evil?
Not compared to Zelda, no way.
Oh, Mario, you know, Mario's a hard one to yep. beat. You know, Mario's a hard one to beat. Metroid's another one, Super Metroid and Metroid Primes.
Final Fantasy
is a great one. So yeah, it'll be interesting, but I think we come in with one only each. Each one brings a dog to the race, and then we'll see which one wins. I think that'll be quite interesting. There you go. I think that's it. That's all the complaints dealt with, all the suggestions dealt with. Thank you very much for sending those suggestions in and those complaints in. Like I said, you can send your suggestions, complaints, / anything to podcast@monkeytail.co.uk, and we'll certainly try to incorporate it in the next podcast. And yes, I've been Bruno Pinto.
Yeah, I've been thinking it's nice to get complaints again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's funny how we get complaints once we get Donut in. You know, for the longest time, no, we have no complaints, that. You know, and then Donut comes in, complaint.
I've been the complaint department.
Well, there you go. Fantastic. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Marius,
so, welcome on. Hello, oh, how are we doing?
You're on your laptop, he looks like.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm in the middle of painting the room, so you might feel like everything's covered up and I couldn't be bothered to move the table back to plug it back in again, because I need to do a second coat in a bit. So it might be a bit echoey.
You missed the spot.
You know what? I almost sent you a text to tell. Like, I wonder how long it'll be time to miss the spot joke, and it was less than 30 seconds.
Listen. You know me. I'm known as low hanging fruit, bro. So if you put a long hanging fruit joke, I'm gonna do it. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it might be a bit echoey, and. It's very cold to have the windows open, so if I do pass out at any point during the podcast, just give me 5 minutes or so and then call the ambulance if I don't come round, yeah, because of the paint fumes.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can I know your address, so it's all good. So live with me. By the way, it's 999 over here, not 911, okay? Just so you know.
Yeah.